Welcome back to another episode of Unbiased Football Talk, Week 3 Talk. James and Ian, we're here, and just want to start off right away. 70 burger, Miami Dolphins. They put 70 points on the Denver Broncos.
70 points is wild. I turned it to the Chargers game because I only briefly switched it to the Dolphins game, and I saw they were up big, and I wanted to watch your Vikings, so I switched it back. And then after a while, I tuned back into the Dolphins. I'm like, is that 70? They scored 70 points. I think my all-time high in Madden is 81. Like, that's wild. They were two possessions off of that.
Well, most points, I think, since like 1956, it said, and then an NFL record for 726 yards.
Yeah, that's the Broncos.
Yeah, Sean Payton. I haven't seen any reports on anything, but I assume somebody's getting fired or somebody's getting demoted.
I know that, like, what is it, 80% or so of that roster isn't his, but there you 70 points, man.
And he was so mad at the press conference, but
I'm sure he was. What do you even say to that?
But like, here's a funny thing about the press conference. So for years, one of the main guys who would question Mike Zimmer's name was Chris Thomason. Yeah. And he switched from Vikings to Broncos. And I guess Mike Zimmer and Sean Payton are good friends. And apparently he warned Sean Payton about Chris Thomason. Well, Chris Thomason was the one who kept going back to it. He kept saying, like, after that historic loss. And Sean Payton's just getting so pissed. But him and this Chris Thomason and Mike Zimmer used to just, they didn't get along at all.
Yeah.
70 points, man. That's
that's insane. Like,
that's more than half the league has scored all year.
So I on DraftKings this weekend, I played a bunch of Tua Tyreek stacks with Sutton as a bring back. So, you know, I was riding high and mighty, right? I didn't min cash a single team.
Really?
I played 10 teams. I had at least 4 Tua stacks. I didn't cash any of them because the rest of my guys sucked. I didn't have any Keenan Allen. And him, Zach Moss. Yeah, it was not a fun time. But I did do a weekly winners league in underdog best ball, where you draft a team and every week it starts the contest over. There's a weekly payout, $20,000 for first. And on that side, I have a Tua, a Shane, Tyreek team. So I was excited to check that one out. Didn't cash that team either. Literally, I'm pretty sure Devin Shane outscored the rest of my team, not named Tua and Tyreek.
Yeah.
Combined. It was not fun. I'm still fucking mad about that.
I love, too, that Mike White came in and just threw a bomb to Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Chosen Anderson.
Chosen Anderson for, like, to make it, I think it was already, like, 56 to, I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah.
They scored 20 points, I think.
That's wild.
I saw.
Well, they had a kick return for a touchdown.
I saw a quick Garrett Bowles snip of his interview. He's like, I'm tired of losing. I've been here for 7 years, and all we do is lose. I'm sick of it.
I'm not going to lie to you. I had to look up who that was.
He's a tackle or a guard.
Right. Yeah, he's a pretty average. He's not like, I looked him up on Pro Football Focus. He's a good tackle.
He's a starter.
Why is whatever?
What?
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, let's ride.
I don't know. Let's ride. Oh my god. God, that guy's so cringe. What are they gonna do about his contract? Like, are they gonna cut him and just eat the dead cap? That might be the move, honestly, because. You can't. I mean, I know he wasn't to blame in that day. He didn't give up 70 points, but it's just not working. It's not gonna work. It's only week 3, right? Like, I was ready to bury the Bengals, and then Joe Burrow has a heroic performance. I know you were a fan of that one. Yeah, it's only week 3. A lot of things can change, but this has been going on since last year, Russell Wilson's decline, and I just don't see it happening.
You know, it's funny. I was to go on with the Let's Ride thing, which is ridiculous, but because he, you remember how cringe that dude was? Like he would stick his head back to the microphone. Frogs Country, Let's Ride. Let's Ride. God. Well, I watch a podcast, or I guess it's not. It's a YouTube channel with a former Vikings tackle by the name of Jeremiah Soriles and a former Vikings and 49ers guard. And was it Andrew Boone or Booney? I can't remember his first name. I think it's Andrew Boone, but I might be wrong. But anyway, they like to dissect a lot of O-line play around the league or whatever. And then Phil Mackey is a guy on the Minnesota Sports Channel I listen to every day called Score North Purple Daily. And he's on there and they're talking about the Broncos and how Dalton Risner is probably coming to Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. And the Let's Ride got brought up, and Jeremiah Soriles was like, I know somebody inside the Broncos locker room, and they say that that phrase is now banned from the locker room.
I don't
like that's like him. A curse word. Like, that's just like.
We don't say that here, man.
Oh, God. And Sean Payton, my good, like, you're 2 months away, or 2 months since you said that Nathaniel Hackett was a historically bad coach, and you just gave up 70 points. That's just.
I don't know.
But anyway, we'll move on from that because it's said and done. But okay, let's talk about your boy Burrow. You know, the heroic performance last night that I did watch, and I was so bored. That first half was so boring. I bet you everybody agrees with me. And Burrow, a lot of quarterbacks don't get the benefit of the doubt of having little injuries. You know, like Kirk Cousins last year was playing with bruised and cracked ribs. Nobody gave a damn.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, Kirk sucks or whatever. Joe Burrow's got a little calf injury, but he's overthrowing dudes. He's missing, you know, it's just bad. So I don't know about heroic, but... They won. They're now 1-2. They beat Matt Stafford, who did look like a statue as well back there, but that was a really boring game.
Yeah, I actually didn't get the chance to watch either game last night. I had some other issues going on, but I was following the scores on my phone, and at first it started like I thought it would. You know, the Rams get out to an early lead. The Bengals aren't doing much. I even had some under bets on Burrow's passing yards and under on T. Higgins stuff, but that all went to shit eventually because the Rams continued to not move the ball well enough and score touchdowns, and the Bengals eventually just started getting some drives going. Jamar Chase kind of came back to life in this game. By the way, a lot of people got to be kicking themselves right now if they took Chase over Jefferson and Tyreek in season-long fantasy, which I know Chase over Tyreek was a common pick, but Chase over Jefferson, that was like a coin flip. You can't beat yourself up for taking Chase over Jefferson, but still, it's gotta suck. But anyways, yeah. Chase came back to life. The Bengals got out a win. I wanted to actually come on and kind of capitulate my take a little bit on Burrow being overrated, because I know you scoffed at it, but I mean, if he is legit hurt with a calf and then, you know, he does everything he can to get out on the field, and it's like the dude just got paid over $200 million, right? And still he's trying to, like, you know, play hurt. That's like, you know, 70s, 80s football shit. And that's the kind of stuff that like people tune in for and like watching. It's why this sport is the best sport in the country. So I will give him his props for that, give him his respect for gutting it out, you know, because, I mean, how many people would give it their all truly if they got a $10 million contract in whatever field they were doing, right? They'd probably just try to float by, you know, because you already got paid. So I think I do admire that aspect a little bit. You know, guys like Mahomes, he's another one who just, you got to drag him off the field before he's gonna, you know, not be out there with his guys. So I do appreciate that. Props to the Bengals for getting a win. The Rams might not, might be just as bad as I thought they were. Maybe average. They'll probably contend for a playoff spot, but I had them as like one of the worst teams in the league. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of that. As long as Stafford is healthy and they have McVay, they are going to be competitive. I just don't know if they have the juice to put together like eight, nine wins to get a playoff spot. So, but I don't think they're bottom five in the league. As long as Stafford is healthy, I think they'll at least be competitive for most of their games.
He didn't look too great last night either. He threw some pretty bad picks, but whatever.
I mean, that's who he is, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna have a lot of those games throughout the year. Hell, he almost threw away the NFC Championship against the Niners. The dude just dropped the pass.
Yeah. So don't you hate it when corners just drop interceptions?
Yeah, and then you gotta hear the announcer, that's why he's a DB.
Well, I was referring to the Vikings, but we'll get to that.
Oh, okay. Always making it about the Vikings.
Hey, when you're as frustrated as we are, you know.
You didn't appreciate my skull videos for my kids? I thought they would hype you up.
You were just annoying me. It's like, oh my God, the 49ers are good and they're not playing today, so James is just going to annoy me. Because the Vikings are shockingly playing in a one-score game, because that's what they do.
Oh, really? Another one?
Yeah, they're 0-3 this year, all one score games. So yeah, they're now there's a graph that came up today that one of the podcasters that I was watching showed. They're the unluckiest team this year, right? By far, it's not even close. According to, I can't remember what the stat was called, but the luckiest team in the league right now is the Detroit Lions. Now the Vikings were fifth luckiest last year, so all those bounces that went the Vikings' way last year, going completely against them this year. For example, lining up offsides on a field goal, Justin Jefferson fumbling it into the end zone, and then yes, on Sunday the Vikings corner dropping an interception that Justin Herbert threw straight to him, and it bounces off our cornerback's helmet and lands in Josh Palmer's hand in the end zone. Like, what are you gonna do with that?
Yeah,
but. So all those bounces that went the Vikings' way last year are just not happening this year at all. And it's making me scared, man. Making me scared that Justin Jefferson is not going to sign. Like, man, they should have signed him before the season.
Well, I mean, it takes two to tango. Did he want to be signed?
Well, he's very nonchalant about it. He's very like, hey, you know, I'm here to play football. If my agent and the team gets it done, then they get it done. He's not... Yeah. That's one thing about JJ. One of many things I like about JJ is that he's a football player. He's not worried about all that other stuff. He's not a drama queen like Diggs was and Moss was and Percy Harvin was with the Vikings, who all three requested trades from the Vikings.
Yeah.
He also no idea what the future holds for Vikings quarterback, because after that performance, after that one play, I think that it's safe to say that Kirk Cousins is not coming back to Minnesota next year.
Yeah, it's looking like that. And then it feeds back to what we talked about last week. Is there any team that's going to trade for him midseason? I mean, anything's possible. I could be dead wrong by my take, by the way, of a team not being able to have him adopt an offense midway through the season. That could just be, like, categorically false. So we'll see. It's not looking too good for the Vikings, though. 0-3. In one score games, ironically enough. The world's funny, you know? Like, I don't mean to get into this type of talk, but it's stuff like that that makes me say we live in a simulation, because they're 11-0 last year, one score games. To start the year, they're 0-3 in one score games. It's, I don't know, it's just ironic. I guess that's a better word for ironic.
And you got all these people posting, oh, Kirk Cousins leads the league in passing yards. He leads the league in touchdowns. Danielle Hunter leads the league in sacks. JJ leads the league in receiving yards. What's wrong with the Vikings? Do you watch football? They turn the ball over. You
can't stop
at a stupid amount. I think they're 9-2 or their differential is like 9-2 or something. They only turn the ball over once because the refs gifted the Vikings a second chance, and they blew it. Alexander Mattison was stopped at like the 3 yard line, and they called forward progress, and it was so bad.
Yeah,
that was 100% a fumble.
It was terrible. It was terrible. If that was forward progress, the David Tyree catch should never happened.
100%. Yeah. So just to dive a little deeper into my comment about that one play. So everyone here, everyone listening has probably already seen, like, Brandon Staley is not a good head coach. And he loves his analytics like you do. And he said the analytics say go for it on 4th and 1 on your own 24-yard line when the Vikings have no timeouts and there's only a minute 24 left. I disagree, but because it was against my team, I was like, yes, please. And they ran a little stupid run with their fullback or whoever it was. I know you said pre-show was Joshua Kelly. It could have been. And they were stopped. So Vikings get the ball with a minute 20. If Vikings score, Brandon Staley's not making it back to L.A. with a job. That was terrible.
I agree. I looked it up. There was an article said it was 84% chance win if they went for it, 78% chance to win if they punted it. So those models are based on, like, I think some type of historical averages. And I think there's a lot of inputs that go into them. But the one thing that a lot of people have against, you know, data models like that is that the inputs are made by humans, and it assumes like average ability in a lot of areas. And there's this is like, it's a field game in some instances. You know, you have to like understand what's happening in the game and in that instance, one, if you want to go for it, then you know what, whatever, you're the head coach, you do what you want. Why the fuck are you running it with Josh Kelly? You have Justin Herbert, who threw for, no, he didn't.
He went over 400.
400? Yeah, he threw for 400 yards. And you want to give the ball to, I don't understand the call. Like, if you want to go for it, put it in the hands of your best player. That's why, like, I defended the Seahawks running it on the 4th and 1 play against the Patriots, because they put the ball in the hands of their best player, which that may be debatable back then. People said Marshawn Lynch would have been better. Whatever. The point is, Russell Wilson was he was actually good back then. Good enough anyways. That's a big reason why I defend like aggressiveness, is because these teams have a good quarterback. And if you're going to put the game in the hands of your franchise quarterback to get 1 yard, I'm all for that. Not the fucking backup running back who had 12 yards on 11 carries.
Yeah.
Is that what he had?
I think they ran the ball 15 times and they had a total of like 35 yards or something.
Kelly had just 12 yards on 11 carries with 5 going for no gain or negative yards. So if you take that very, very small sample size right there, half of his carries went for 0 yards. And yeah, you needed 1. So you had a greater than, you had like 50% chance to fail going for it with him. Like,
that's why
it's mind-boggling, dude. The dude's an idiot. He's an idiot.
I mean, still he should be fired. Like, it, as me as a person who never played anything other than high school football in Europe, I'm punting that ball all day long. Vikings had no timeouts. You take about 15 seconds off the clock with that punt. Now, worst case scenario, they get it at the 20.
They still got to score a touchdown, not a field goal. So
yeah,
that does change it a little bit.
That's what Brandon Staley was saying, yeah, in his press conference.
But make him go an extra 60 yards or 50 yards to get the touchdown. And the fact that you said the Vikings were running out of time and they started on the 24-yard line is another, like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, so let's just break that down real quick. So the Vikings get the ball. They screw something up. It's 4th down and 6 or something like that. Kirk makes a good play. He throws the ball over the middle to TJ Hockenson, who, by the way, was the lowest-rated Viking, according to Pro Football Focus, on Sunday, which rightfully so. He makes the catch. They get up, and there's just no urgency. They're just lollygagging, like peewee football. Just no one's running to the line. Kirk's got his hands over his helmet trying to hear the play. Apparently, I'll get to that in a second because that's a bunch of bullshit in my opinion. But so then they get up to the line. 23 seconds had passed. He throws a dart. TJ Hockenson, you got to catch that ball. Okay, you're the highest paid tight end in the league. It hits you right in both hands. And he drops it, deflects off like three different players, and then it comes down the arms of the Chargers linebacker. But so the game's over. Oh, well, Vikings lost. I live with that my whole life. The post-game interviews is what really pissed me off was because the play, whatever. Okay, there's no urgency. I don't understand how, Kirk, you've been in the league 10 years. Why are you not going to clock that ball? Why are you not going to spike that? Or pull a Dan Marino, fake a spike, throw it to JJ in the end zone. I don't know. That's better than wasting 23 seconds. But the post-game interview, you know, Kevin O'Connell was asked about it. And, oh, the crowd noise. The crowd noise. The crowd noise? Really? Okay, maybe they're a little loud in U.S. Bank Stadium. I've been there many times. It gets pretty loud. What do you think those fans are screaming? Spike the ball. Clock it. So for him to say that, and then Kirk comes out and, God, Kirk, oh my God, man, that just proved to me Kirk is just like, oh, blame's not on me, blame's not on me. He comes out, he starts talking about the crowd noise, and then a reporter asks, are you allowed to make a call? You know, can you just make a call on your own? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm the quarterback, I can do whatever I want. But remember, in the Netflix show, I made a call in Buffalo, and it turned, you know, backfired on me, and I got in trouble. Really, Kirk? Daddy yelled at you one time a year ago, and you're scared to make a call? You make $30 million a year. You don't even have to make a call. Get your players to the line, spike the ball, and then go talk to Daddy for a play. It's so frustrating. Like, yeah. Kirk's gone. He's not coming back to the Vikings. You know, tanking is a stupid... Everyone who says, oh, tank is kind of silly. I don't really think anybody really tanks. Maybe they do. I know Brian Flores had that incident in Miami a few years ago, but you're not going to tank. This team's going to accidentally win 6 or 7 games and have a middle of the pack first round pick. So Kirk's not getting traded, but this is one of the most frustrating games I've ever watched. That man, a Caleb Evans, Vikings starting cornerback, Justin Herbert threw it straight to him. You got to make that catch. It's so bad.
Yeah, teams don't, the players don't tank. It's like if you give someone a handgun and throw them into a battle, everyone has machine guns, the dude's still going to try to survive, but you're handicapping him from the start. I think that's what organizations do when they try to tank. They're going to make their team bad. The guys are going to try to win, but it's just not going to be in their, it's not going to be in the cards for them to do so. That said, I don't see the Vikings... They're not going to give up on the season yet because they're still only 3 weeks in. But, yeah, I do think Kirk will be gone after this season. I don't see him. Even if they were to win, like make the playoffs this year, he's probably gone anyways because they just probably want to go in a new direction after him. He's getting older, you know.
Well, the front office is very open that they're trying to build a young team. And they're the youngest team in the league right now, and Kirk doesn't fit that bill. But...
Can you imagine the team dinner? Yeah, we're trying to get younger, and they look at Kirk.
Yeah. Man.
Awkward.
The thing is, like, you say the season's not over. They may scrape in the playoffs. I don't even know, man. They're 0-3. They'll probably beat the Panthers this weekend. Probably. Especially if Bryce Young plays. I mean, Andy Dalton definitely is capable of beating the Vikings in Carolina. But then they play the Chiefs. And then they play the Bears, who play the division very well, not anybody else. And then they play 49ers on Monday Night Football. And they still play the Bengals, still play the Lions twice. They play the 2-1 Falcons. After the 49ers game, the Vikings are probably going to be 2-5 if they beat the Panthers and the Bears. So if there was going to be a trade for Kirk Cousins, like, you'd think it would happen now-ish.
I mean,
you're not gonna wait. You're not gonna wait until the trade deadline. Like, they're not gonna. No, a team's not. There could be a team desperate enough. I mean, if Desmond Ridder gets hurt, and I mean, this is a hot take, but Desmond Ridder gets hurt, they could use a quarterback, and they have it. That division's wide open.
Yeah, I said they would try. I didn't say I thought they were gonna still make the playoffs, but I think they're definitely gonna try, because I don't know. It's just not a football player's capacity to, like, you know, give up unless you play in Denver. But I guess if the GM was forward thinking like that, he could make that type of deal. And I would say, like, what about the locker room? But I mean, who cares? I guess they're professionals, you know, deal with it. You're getting paid. I guess that sort of thing. But I don't know. It's a weird situation, because the correct thing to do would be what you said, try to trade Kirk Cousins. But this is a business with human beings, you know, and you're basically saying, yeah, we're just going to waste an entire year of your career. You wasted this whole offseason. We're going to just throw the towel in right now, and we'll try again next year and go still play the next 14 weeks. And you're like, what? Why the fuck am I going to bust my ass when you guys are quitting? Like, it's just, there's no easy answer, right? It's not going to be easy at all. So from that perspective, I think the Vikings are still going to try, but we could see Cousins dealt, honestly. That wouldn't surprise me.
And he wouldn't be the only one.
Despite what I said last week.
I think if you're going to make trades, you got to trade Danielle Hunter right now, too. You know, he's second in the league in sacks behind TJ Watt. Right now, he's got to be worth a decent pick. Yeah. I don't know about a first round, but maybe you could pair Kirk and Danielle Hunter to a team for a first round pick. But I don't know. It's a very frustrating loss, but it's over. You know, I picked the Vikings to be 2-1 at this point. I had no faith in the Philly game, but I figured before the season, I'm like, okay, I think we can be better than the Chargers, but not if you don't stop Keenan Allen, who had 18 receptions, 200 yards, a touchdown, and then he threw a 50-yard touchdown pass to Mike Evans or Mike Williams or whatever his name is.
Mike Williams, guy who's always hurt.
Now he's got a torn ACL.
Yeah, death, taxes, and Mike Williams injuries.
Well, you also texted me that day saying death, taxes, and Vikings turnovers.
That too. Throw that in the columns.
Well, that's all I had about the Vikings. I'm over it. I just wanted to get that out on the air that Kirk Cousins is a big wuss. He's an employee. He's not a leader. He's got that C on his chest. They voted him as unanimous captain, and he's a big wuss. Oh, Daddy won't let me pick the plays.
It only took 40 minutes. All right, let's let me think of some other stuff that happened around the league. The Cowboys lost to the Cardinals. How the hell did that happen? I guess upsets happen every year, right? The Bears beat the Niners week one last year. The Bears ended up picking first overall, so I don't look too much into it, to be honest. Although I think it does say something about the Cowboys' offense overall, perhaps, because they got Tony Pollard. He's always been explosive. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is a legit number one receiver, but I don't really see anything else special about this squad offensively.
Well, I did know there was a stat that somebody sent me. They were missing like 45% of their salary.
Huh?
They had so many injuries.
Oh, okay, I get.
And obviously, Trevon Diggs is a big one. But then I think they're missing like three of their starting offensive linemen, including Zach Martin. So they probably couldn't get any. I didn't watch any of the highlights of that game or anything like that. But other than Dak Prescott's interception in the end zone, that was bad. Dak looked bad on that play. But yeah, upsets happen every week.
Yeah, it's just, you know, on to the next week. The Cowboys are still going to most likely make the playoffs. So this is much ado about nothing. The Jags lost to the Texans. I thought because their division was so easy, I thought Trevor Lawrence would continue to get better. They have a good defense, a good head coach. I thought this could be a sneaky like 14-win team, even in the AFC, because they get to play six games against the AFC South. And if Lawrence got a little better, they could compete against the big boys in the AFC. But not if you're going to drop games to the Texans at home.
I don't know what it is about the Jaguars, but they are so bad against the Texans.
Is it
every year?
Is it like the Jags always beat the Colts? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, it's so bad.
Because the NFC West has that too. The Niners beat the Rams. The Rams beat the Seahawks. The Seahawks beat the Niners, and the Cardinals beat someone every other time. You know, they just do whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah, they just historically, well, in the last few years anyway, the Jags are just always bad against the Texans. They've had their number for a few years now.
Gotcha.
But that was really bad though. CJ Stroud looked like really good.
I played him in DraftKings, but I played him with Robert Woods, not Tank Dell. So again, didn't make any money.
I forgot Robert Woods was there.
Dude, that squad was legit. It let me fit in Jefferson and Tyreek on that team.
Wow. But
still didn't cash.
JJ is going to break the record for receiving yards and be 0-17.
Right? He's 100-1 for MVP. I saw someone post that on Discord. I'm like, there's no chance. Don't waste your money.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste your money on that.
Not at all.
All right, well, go ahead.
I got one more thing. Chicago's a dumpster fire. Kansas City still is an elite team. The Raiders, they disappointed me on Sunday night. You can drop into Mike's YouTube channel to hear his reaction on that. But I thought they'd beat the Steelers pretty handily, to be honest. Because Kenny Pickett's garbage, but like, man, Garoppolo sucks.
Garoppolo is bad.
He's one of my, like, I root for the guy. I like him, but it was bad. And then there was a funny thing. Brock Purdy's like second in the league in EPA per dropback. And for the longest time, Garoppolo was always top five in that same stat when he was with the Niners. So, you know, it's like maybe Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing a little bit. but yeah, the Bears look terrible. Chiefs are still good. Maybe I was a little bit wrong on the Bills. They got another impressive win. They play the Dolphins next week. That'll be entertaining. But yeah, I got nothing else. Just want to touch on a few quick stories.
You know what's really annoying, James? Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, dude.
That is, like, I mean, it was funny. It was funny over the summer when he said something and tweeted her or something. I don't remember what happened, but my God, is that annoying or what?
The only reason I know about them is because, like, the only reason I'm irritated at it is because it's leaking into my purely like football / nerd DFS discourse. And it's like, I don't give a fuck about this.
I know.
Legit, like him and Kittle, I'm gonna call Kittle too. They're fucking divas. Like Kittle's got that horrid Little Caesars commercial. Oh my God. You know the little toast he does with the pizza at the end? I want to gouge my eyes out every time I see it. It's so bad. They're legit divas. Like him and Kelce are divas. And it's annoying. But you know what? Sell out to make your money, I guess. Who am I to hate? But it's dreadfully annoying.
I just wanted to throw it in there when you mentioned the Chiefs because I watched that game and I swear every 5 minutes somebody, whoever was announcing the game, oh, I bet Taylor saw that.
Oh my, is that what it's going to be like? I got to watch them on mute then. Yeah. When they're on prime time. I can't.
Oh, can you imagine Chris Collinsworth calling a game with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift in attendance? Here's a guy that goes on a date with Taylor Swift.
Here's a guy. You know what'd be funny? I actually would laugh at this if, you know how he does the slide in, Collinsworth? If instead Taylor Swift was there, she did the slide in, like the actual person, Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
I think that would be kind of funny. Maybe I would hate it, actually. I don't know. It sounds kind of stupid saying it out loud. Like, what the fuck is she going to say? Like, okay.
Oh my God. All right. Well, that's all the time we got today. We just wanted to hop on quick on a Tuesday. I'm going on a trip for a week, so won't be able to get one in with the guys. So, all right. We'll catch you guys later. See you, James.
Take care, man.